Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Before we join together in silence, I just want to announce that tomorrow we are beginning Miracle Share International is launching their very first Academy class. It's a free four-week class on parents. It's called Parents, Children, and Miracles, and it's for if you're a parent, if you are, we're all children. It's about, you know, family relationships, and it's focused around one of Ken Wapnick's books on parents and children. So feel free to check that out at MiracleShareInternational.org. All right, let's join in this moment. Pausing from whatever it is that we might be doing, and turning within, if we'd like, allowing the eyes to close. Bringing our attention to our own sense of willingness. That feeling of willingness in the heart. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just a tiny bit of willingness that is open to learning a better way. Letting this sense of willingness, this feeling of willingness, be our anchor, our focus, our anchor to this present moment. If we notice that the mind drifts or goes elsewhere, we can just gently and lovingly return the wandering attention back to this feeling of willingness within. And in your heart, where the Holy Spirit abides, offering this sense of willingness, this feeling of willingness to Spirit, knowing that it will be used for the highest good. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place Spirit in charge tonight by our request, letting Spirit lead the way. And so taking a few mindful breaths and returning our attention to this time and place, allowing the eyes to open and coming together. Oh, alrighty. Yay. So we're going to continue reading where we left off last week. We've been in a section called The Bridge to the Real World. So it's been talking a lot about transforming our perception, moving over that bridge into knowledge, and it's been talking a lot about special relationships. We've been talking a lot about that over the past few weeks. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 395. It's the very, very bottom paragraph, the very last paragraph on the page, and the sentence is, "Nothing you seek to strengthen." So again, Sparkle Edition, page 395. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 16, part 7, paragraph number 66, same sentence, nothing you seek to strengthen. So again, Course in Miracles Society, chapter 16, part 7, paragraph 66. And Foundation for Inner Peace, we are at chapter 16, part 6. Paragraph number 9. So here we go, ready to roll. Nothing you seek to strengthen in the special relationship is really part of you. And you cannot keep part of the thought system which taught you it was real and understand the thought that really knows what you are. You have allowed the thought of your reality to enter your minds, and because you invited it, it will abide with you. Your love for it will not allow you to betray yourself, and you could not enter into a relationship where it could not go with you, for you would not be apart from it. And I'll pause there. So this is pretty clear by saying, where it says the second sentence, you cannot keep part of the thought system which taught you it was real. So you cannot keep even a part of the ego thought system and understand the thought. In the Sparkle Edition, it's a capital T thought. You can't keep part of the ego thought system and understand the capital T thought that really knows what you are. So as long as we're hanging on to even the littlest bit of an ego thought system, we're not going to understand God. We're not going to understand truth, and that's okay. We don't need to feel guilty or concerned about that. It's just a recognition that we'll come to understand this the more and more we let go of the ego thought system. So the Course is teaching us to completely let go of the ego thought system into the capital T thought system that we truly are, that hasn't forgotten who we truly are. It goes on
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue.
That's okay. No. Go ahead.
I was going to say that is so amazing because what that's saying to me is at this point right now, I don't know who I really, really am and cannot begin to know who I am as long as there's a part of the ego thought system, because I see things that way. I don't see things how they truly are. And to see things how they truly are would just be so radically different from how I see things now.
Right.
So I think that's just amazing.
It is amazing. And that's where this willingness to not hang on to anything, to not hang on to how we think things are, you know, there's that part of the mind that wants to get this. It wants to understand all the different parts and, you know, have that analysis. And yet if we can just let that go and just be wholly willing to just not hang on to anything that we think we know, we're opening ourselves then to be shown the truth that we are. So that is profound. I'm with you.
And the miracle, too, is that just today my son said, someone had said to him, which I had heard this a long time ago, but I was thankful that he brought this back, that we don't see things as they are. We see things as we think they are.
Yeah. That's so true. So true. And that's what this is all about. That's what I feel like this whole section, that's what the whole course is about, really. We don't see them as they are. We see the substitute that we've made. Go on, DJ.
It reminds me of that prayer about how we don't know how to judge things. So take this from me judging it for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just really reminds me of that because I know when I start to feel uneasy about something, it's immediate. I know that I'm not seeing with the way love would see it.
Right.
So I've got a thought in my mind that is instantly out of alignment with how love sees something. So I don't know how to judge it, so take it from me and judge it.
Yep. Perfect. That's perfect. I love that prayer. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. And so what I was going to say before that I'll continue saying now, where it goes on to say, you have allowed the capital T thought of your reality to enter your minds, and because you invited it, it will abide with you. So we've invited that capital T thoughts in. We've invited Holy Spirit in. Even if it was just once and fleeting, we invited it in. And so it's there. If it seems like it's not there, if it seems like it goes away, again, it's just because we're making that choice to focus, to narrow or constrict our attention on ego rather than allowing our awareness to be opened to that greater, you know, more loving perception that the Holy Spirit gives in exchange for the ego perception. So I just love that. That's reassuring to me that you have allowed the thought to enter our minds and it will abide with you. Spirit is always there, always. Whether or not we're aware of it, the Course says, it refers to the Holy Spirit as your comforter with a capital C, not like the blanket, although I guess you could think of it like a big cozy blanket, but like the great, you know, comforter, like he, it, who is with us always. We're never alone.
I love that we don't have to have, like, because there are times when it feels like I just have, like, the tiniest maybe shred of willingness. But it's there, but it's like maybe minute, or maybe it just feels like it's not very much, but Spirit says that's all we need, so.
Yeah.
You only have to ask once, you don't have to be like, because I had something come up this week that was really kind of triggering me, and it's exactly what in the passage we just read, it's your focus. If you're focusing on the fear part of it, that's why it feels so scary, because your mind keeps wanting to go back to the thing that you're misaligned with. It's like you were talking, Corinne, a few weeks ago about wanting to put something in a box, because you had made it, once you make a decision to put something in a box,
right.
It means that you're not going to think about it anymore.
Right.
But you had said, I'm not ready to put it in the box because it keeps coming back, right?
Uh-huh.
I had to keep reminding myself this week when something kept coming back in my mind and the fear felt really tangible. It felt real. But I had to keep taking it to Spirit. And every time I took it to Spirit, I got different guidance than what I was thinking. So, it's just really interesting how, based on where our perception is, the perception can be really twisted if you haven't taken it to Spirit. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because if we're feeling any kind of discomfort whatsoever, it means that we've just temporarily think that we've gone off course, and all it takes is that willingness to say, no, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace right now. I must not know how to judge this. So.
Yeah, awesome. You said so many great things, and we'll be reading in just a couple paragraphs that juicy paragraph about how our willingness doesn't need to be complete because His is perfect. So we don't even have to have perfect willingness. It's just, again, that tiny little speck of willingness, which is all we need. And then we're going to go on. We'll see how much we get into it tonight, but definitely next week. Deidre, what you were sharing was just making me think about the past and how we use the past to block out truth in the present because we're, you know, focused on something from the past or trying to resolve something from the past or worry about the future, of course, but we're going to read a lot about the ego's use of the past coming up also.
Okay.
So, good stuff. Let's read the next paragraph. Be glad you have escaped the mockery of salvation which the ego offered you, and look not back with longing on the travesty it made of your relationships. Now no one need suffer, for you have come too far to yield to the illusion of the beauty and holiness of guilt. Only the holy and sane could look on death and suffering, sickness and despair, and see it thus. What guilt has wrought is ugly, fearful, and very dangerous. See no illusion of truth and beauty there. And be you thankful that there is a place where truth and beauty wait for you. Go on to meet them gladly, and learn how much awaits you for the simple willingness to give up nothing, because it is nothing. I love how it says, now no one need suffer, for you have come too far to yield to the illusion of the beauty and holiness of guilt. Just by, again, inviting Holy Spirit in, I think a lot of us have done a lot more than just invite the Holy Spirit in once. This is all, you know, an active process for all of us. We're all very much engaged on this pathway. And I love how it says, now no one need suffer because we've come too far. We're starting to really see, learning through the contrast that our own experiences have taught us, what makes us happy and what doesn't. And so we're starting to see that, you know, the things that the ego would hold up as, you know, really appealing things to sort of grab onto, we're starting to see the game. We're starting to recognize it for what it is. So that's awesome. Be thankful that there is a place where truth and beauty wait for you. Go on to meet them gladly and learn how much awaits you for the simple willingness to give up nothing, because it is nothing. That just makes me feel like, again, I've said this before, but that it's fun to let go of Corinne. It really is that when these little things fall away, these fears, these beliefs, it's like, why in the world did I ever hang on to this? Why in the world did I ever think that this was something that was, you know, helpful to me? So it's like we're just shedding weights that we've been carrying around, and it feels really good to let it go. To let go of that fear and guilt. Any thoughts or insights from that paragraph? Let's read the next one. The new perspective you will gain from crossing over. So again, this is referencing, if you remember last week, we talked about across the bridge. This is the bridge from that transition in our perspective of reality. The new perspective you will gain from crossing over will be the understanding of where heaven is. From here, it seems to be outside and across the bridge. Yet as you cross to join it, it will join with you and become one with you. And you will think in glad astonishment that for all this you gave up nothing. The joy of heaven, which has no limit, is increased with each light that returns to take its rightful place within it. Wait no longer for the love of God and you. And may the holy instant speed you on the way, as it will surely do if you but let it come to you. Awesome. The new perspective you will gain from crossing over will be the understanding of where heaven is. From here, it seems to be outside and across the bridge, yet as you cross to join it, it will join with you and become one with you. I love that idea that as we make that step into knowing fully the truth that we are, we see that there is no bridge to cross. It's just suddenly we become one with everything. And recognize our oneness. Let's read the next paragraph. The Holy Spirit asks only this little help of you. Whenever your thoughts wander to a special relationship which still attracts you, enter with him into a holy instant, and there let him release you. He needs only your willingness to share his perspective to give it to you completely. And your willingness need not be complete because his is perfect. It is his task to atone for your unwillingness by his perfect faith, and it is his faith you share with him there. out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release, his perfect willingness is given you. Call upon him, for heaven is at his call, and let him call on heaven for you. This is one of those little paragraphs of the course that I have up on my bulletin board because it's just so awesome and so incredibly helpful. This reminder that our willingness doesn't need to be complete because the Holy Spirit is complete. It's the Holy Spirit's task to atone for our unwillingness by his perfect faith, which we share with him. And then when it says, out of your recognition of your unwillingness for your release, so out of our recognition of our resistance, when we recognize that there's part of me that loves being Corinne, there's part of me that doesn't want to let this dream go, just by saying, I'm willing to look at this with you, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at my unwillingness to heal, his perfect willingness is given us. And then it goes on to say, call upon the Holy Spirit, for heaven is at the Holy Spirit's call, and we let the Holy Spirit call on heaven for us. So again, there's this idea that we don't know how to do it ourselves. We don't know how to forgive. We don't know how to choose for love. It's our choosing for the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to choose these things for us. That's what this is about. I love this paragraph. So I'm wondering if anybody has anything that's come up for you.
You know, only that for me, it's just kind of a puzzle. You know, why is there even this thing called ego? You know, and I guess we created ourselves and our dream and our experience, that
mm-hmm.
negative voice.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the ego torturing us with guilt? Why?
Well, the Course answers that. You know, it says that, again, it's that one part where it says we had that tiny mad idea that we wanted to be special. So in oneness in truth, where we're all one and all equally special, we got this tiny mad idea that we forgot to laugh at. So we could have just laughed it away, but we decided to take it seriously in wanting specialness. And God couldn't give us that specialness. So in taking this idea seriously, we thought, well, let's go make this specialness ourselves. And so using the power of God, because that's what we are, that's what sort of created this whole ego dream. And it's, in a sense, you know, we've given it a life of its own because we're feeding it with believing in it. We're feeding it by simply giving it our own belief. And it's that part that enjoys this experience of separation that doesn't want to recognize that it's actually nothing. So that's the Course answer. I don't know if
yeah.
that answers your question, but
oh sure. But
it just won't
let go. So these readings and this experience and our group is to help us learn to let go.
It's to help us learn. And it's little by little. It's not all at once. You know, we're not going to just be hurled into reality while we're still totally, you know, resistant to it. It's every time we experience a miracle, which is that shift in perception from fear to love, it's like another, think of it as another brick or another even stone in our foundation of trust. And we're slowly building this rock solid foundation in trust to begin to lift our eyes, begin to, you know, raise our perception to opening to what we really are. So it's gentle. And yes, the Course is teaching us to do this one step at a time. It's the Course meets us where we're at. So whatever it is that we're ready for, whatever it is that we're ready to let go of, you know, that's what falls away. It's a gentle process.
Yeah, it's like conditioning, or it's even like bodybuilding or building your strength.
Yeah. Yep.
Got to find the willingness, and I keep hearing you say that word, and I'm like, oh, the part is for me the part where it's really small. Where you have a little,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit.
mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all we need, though. That's all we need.
Oh, boy.
That's all we need. And just by that tiny little bit of willingness, which you have, we just read tonight that it says that, you know, you're not alone. You've invited spirit in, and you are not alone.
And, you know, that just from my perspective, sometimes the sense of loneliness, I think, because, you know, we come into the, well, aside from the course and the viewpoint on, you know, that actually we're not alone, but physically in the body, you come into the world, you're alone. And then you have the experience of putting the body down and leaving, right? But then during life, you know, to me, the worst is loneliness, right? It's just the worst. I mean, I know physical pain and everything is not good, but somehow hopeless loneliness, I think, must be the one of the worst. And this helps. This really helps.
Yeah. And the Course addresses that, you know, you think you can be lonely, or you think you are lonely unless another body is with you, but it says that that's insanity that thinks this, because we have that comforter. We have that part of us. We have truth. We have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. And that's when we learn to, you know, get better and better at opening up to that and realizing that we're never alone, then loneliness becomes impossible. We feel held all the time, comforted.
Great. Yeah, I know one of the prior calls I wrote down, you know, ego is death, or the ego wants death, or something along those lines. That is scary. It's scary.
But it has, remember that image of that blowing balloon man? I think I shared this on one of the calls. Like, have you ever seen, you know, I've seen them at, like, liquor stores and a Dunkin' Donuts. It's something that, like, it's those tall,
skinny. Oh, the stretch
guy,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's a fan that's blowing the air up, and it's kind of making it whip back and forth. That was that image that spirit gave to me to describe what we're afraid of when we're afraid of, like, the ego backlash or the ego wanting death for us. It's our belief. If we're pumping the fan into that nylon fabric, it looks scary. It's whipping around, and it's this giant thing, and maybe it would look really scary to, like, an animal or a child, but it's us pointing that fan into that balloon. When we learn that, you know, that's not the truth, that's it, and it's our decision where, and that fan is the parallel for our belief. When we realize that, you know, we don't have to pump belief into that anymore, it loses all of its power. It's a sack of nylon nothingness that has no power to hurt us whatsoever.
It's almost like it's entertaining to us in a way, just like we go to see horror pictures, or we go on rides at amusement parks that scare us to death. It's like in a way, it's the kind of perverse entertainment.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. I totally agree. It is perverse entertainment. That's perfect.
When I've noticed myself sort of feeling uncomfortable, like even the slightest bit of discomfort, because the Course says joy is our only function here. That's it. Joy is our only function. So if we're experiencing any kind of discomfort or loneliness or fear or illness or whatever, those things aren't joy. Like, it's very clear, joy is our only function. So if I'm not feeling joy, then I'm pumping belief into something else.
Right. Perfect. That's a perfect way of thinking about it, that if we're not feeling joy, we're pumping our belief into something else. Awesome.
Because spirit doesn't, I think your example, Corinne, is perfect too, with the little airman or whatever they're called.
Uh-huh.
Because spirit doesn't see the stories that the images that we've made the same way that we do, or we think we do. Spirit doesn't see the story wrapped around it because the story isn't there. It's like that lesson, the course lesson that says, if I'm upset, it's because I see something that is not there.
Right, right.
It doesn't mince words. It says very plainly, if I'm upset, it's because I'm seeing something that's not there.
Yeah, yeah. And that story, Deidre, you just made me think, like, you know, that story, because it's not there, the mind chatter and the incessant, you know, that we have going on in our head is kind of like trying to keep the story going, trying to keep us hanging on to the story rather than just dropping it,
mm-hmm.
because it isn't there. So how about we start our next section here called The End of Illusions. It is impossible to let the past go without relinquishing the special relationship. For the special relationship is an attempt to reenact the past and change it. Imagined slights, remembered pain, past disappointments, perceived injustices and deprivations all enter into the special relationship, which becomes a way in which you seek to restore your wounded self-esteem. What basis would you have for choosing a special partner without the past? Every such choice is made because of something evil in the past to which you cling and for which must someone else atone. This just makes me think, I'm thinking of my own life and relationships and conversations with family members, just that idea how history kind of repeats itself, that if, you know, you have certain patterns in some relationships, they tend to repeat themselves later if we're not, again, looking at them and taking them to the Holy Spirit. This makes me think, too, of just how it says, what basis would you have for choosing a special partner without the past? You know, this idea that, like, I've been hurt in the past before, don't do this to me again, holding on to those past ideas. And again, we have to be where we are at. So there's no guilt here as we think about this. But that's just a few ideas that stand out to me from this paragraph.
It's funny, though.
I was just going to say family relationships being huge, you know, things that our parents did or didn't do, things that we want to make better for our own children, are just all, you know, they really are just all thoughts about the past. Please, go on, Brian.
No, just that I'm thinking it might even be the ego, but it's so easy to remember pain. You know,
it is ego, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to just kind of forget about all the good times.
Mm-hmm,
but, man,
mm-hmm.
that pain, and I don't mean
yep.
physical pain, just
yep.
emotional pain, just
yeah,
really,
you're right.
Oh, boy.
You know,
yep.
I really feel it's drama addiction. We're addicted to, like, oh, yeah, you know, let's make everything dramatic and, you know.
Yep.
And that's what Meg was saying before with this. This is like a sick thing,
yeah.
a sick entertainment. Like we're entertaining ourselves in a really twisted way.
Exactly. Agree with
like
you, Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
It reminds me of something that was said last night. So I was thinking in terms of worthiness, and that's what comes up in terms of so much is said tonight and as always, and holding on to the special relationship or holding on to the pain, and I really think it comes back to self-worth. And what I remember hearing was that got together with a group of friends, and I remember what was said last night. It was is that above and beyond everything, you're worthy just because you are. And I'm not saying it word for word. So Corinne, maybe I know you know where I'm going.
Yeah,
I think you know where I'm going. But I think really it has a lot to do with that. It feels so foreign, and that act of remembering, I was thinking about what was said early in the conversation, and then just saying, well, you know, like just choosing to see it differently and again and again, and not knowing. I think it was, maybe it was Carla was saying, well, just looking at it totally different, and just like, I mean, talk about things feeling upside down because it's so different in that respect. It feels so foreign. My ego is kind of like wants to put the kibosh on it, and it's really weird. And yet there's part of me that says, no, listen. That's all you have to do is listen, you know. So it's interesting, very interesting.
Yeah. There's part of us that I in the beginning for a long time would start reading the course and I'd get really drowsy. I just get so sleepy because there was just part of me, and I don't know if this is what you're referring to, Angela, but like there's part of me that just didn't want to hear it. Like there's part of me, like you said, wanted to put the kibosh on it. Like enough with studying this. But but like we read before, you know, now there's part of me that sees that there's joy, that there's real joy that comes from this pathway. So now it energizes me. And I think the part that you were referencing before, and correct me if I'm wrong, just about worthiness, is that section in the course that says, you know, there's nothing that you can do or think or make or say that establishes your worth. Your worth is established by God, period.
Right.
So if we think we're not worthy, that's just the ego trying to convince us again of its crazy thought system. That's all.
Very true.
Our worth is established by God, period.
Very true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's read the next paragraph. The special relationship takes vengeance on the past. By seeking to remove suffering in the past, it overlooks the present in its preoccupation with the past and its total commitment to it. No special relationship is experienced in the present. Shades of the past envelop it and make it what it is. It has no meaning in the present, and if it means nothing now, it cannot have any real meaning at all. How can you change the past except in fantasy? And who can give you what you think the past deprived you of? The past is nothing. Do not seek to lay the blame for deprivation on it, for the past is gone. You cannot really not let go what has already gone. In other words, you have to let it go. I love the triple or double negative. You cannot really not let go what has already gone. It must be, therefore, that you are maintaining the illusion that it has not gone because you think it serves some purpose that you want fulfilled. And it must also be that this purpose could not be fulfilled in the present, but only in the past. So a few ideas, a few thoughts come up for me with this paragraph. The first thing that I'll just share is an example. And I had long-term gripes with a particular family member for a long time into my, probably years even after college. And I tried to practice this. I tried to think, well, you know, it's only in the past, but there was still part of me that was still very hurt by what had happened in the past, and I had to be where I was at, and so I ended up multiple times talking to that person about it and was luckily able to move through it, you know, through conversation to where now those past hurts just don't feel part of me anymore. I was fortunate that I was able to speak with a person because not everybody, you know, can perhaps have that opportunity to work through, you know, old hurts. So I share that by saying that we do have to be where we're at. If it feels like we do need to do something or address something, we have to be where we're at. And it wasn't until I did that that I was able to really sort of start giving the past to the Holy Spirit, because I had tried previously to do so and I was still clinging on to it. So that's the first example that I wanted to share. The second thought that I had is just that how it talks about this, it says, it's saying a lot about the past in this paragraph. And where it says, you cannot really not let go what has already gone. The Course teaches that everything that we think we're experiencing right now is over and done with. So just by being in this world, we're actually hanging on to the past, because the Course says that this is already done and over. We're just, it's as if we're looking back over something that's come and gone and then maintaining it now. So we're all still hanging on to the past in that sense. And it's, again, just our task to be willing to take everything to the Holy Spirit, to be shown the complete true present, which is that we aren't bodies, that we are these eternal beings, completely safe. So the past is like a veil across our perception to keep us focused on littleness, to keep us focused on believing that we're these separate bodies. So that's sort of the broad teaching through this paragraph that comes up for me. Anybody have anything come up for you?
What you were saying, Corinne. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Meg.
I just wanted to say that that's just wonderful, Corinne.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's what the Course is teaching us, and I'm grateful for it. Deidre, what were you going to add?
Oh, I was just going to say what you were saying, Corinne, just now about how what we're looking on has already happened, and it's as if we're looking on the past in a way. I watched a really interesting talk yesterday. It was one of David Hofmeister's YouTube videos, and in the video he was talking about, I think it was like a woman asked him about violence on television, like on the news and everything. And she was asking him, like, you've evolved to a certain place with your work with the Course. And so she was asking him, like, you really, when you look at a movie or you see media coverage of tsunami or Holocaust or whatever, you really don't see, you know, the violence in the images. And he said, no, he elaborated more on it. And he said, basically, when you're having a reaction to something, you're not reacting to what you think you see, you're reacting to your own attack thoughts. And then he used that example. He said, this world is a hologram, and if you are to look at an apple and see an apple, in other words, you believe what you see in the world of form is real, he said that is a form of attack. So seeing an apple as an apple is also can be a form of attack, because you're making the existence of the body or the world of form real. And I found the whole discussion really fascinating, because it really takes what the Course is asking or presenting to us to a whole other level, and what we think as reality is really really backwards, because the only thing that's true is love. That's what he said. That was the core basis of the talk. So anything that isn't love is attack. So I just wanted to share
that's awesome.
Because I found it very profound.
That's awesome. It sounds very profound. And I know I ask you this every time you share. Would you post that in the Miracle Share group? I definitely want to check that out. And I'm sure other people
Yeah,
do
sure.
as well.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
You can find it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah.
Gigi. That's really cool. It's really profound, and it really resonates with me that you're only ever reacting to the own attack thoughts in your mind, because that very much matches this teaching that we've talked about on the call before, that if you spot it, if you see it, it's because it's in your own mind. So that's
Ooh.
Where this, how the Course is teaching us to take extreme responsibility for everything that we see. You know,
Ooh.
If I see that painful picture, all right, it's my task now to take what I see to the Holy Spirit, because there's nothing out there. It's all coming from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where also I loved the example of Ihaleakala Hugh Len, and he was that psychiatrist who healed the ward of psychiatric patients, very dangerous psychiatric patients, never having met them, but by using that Ho'oponopono prayer, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And that prayer always, to me, and again, I don't practice Ho'oponopono, but what that spoke to me as, in putting this into my own course terminology, I love you, you know, I see that we are one, I'm sorry for seeing you separate, please forgive me, is that willingness, I'm giving this to the Holy Spirit, and thank you, it is done. And so he cleaned his own beliefs about these patients, and they were healed. So that's, I would love to watch that video
oh.
from David. That's awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Awesome, awesome. Wow. Good stuff. Isn't this great? This is just,
mm-hmm.
oh.
Yeah.
Thank God for the Course. Thank God. Oh, my goodness.
You know, in the past is such a hook, though. It hooks me all the time. You know, when you think back on the major
mm-hmm.
things, the pain points,
mm-hmm.
that if I had just done something differently,
mm-hmm.
you know, regret, and that's a bottomless pit. Oh.
It is a bottomless pit. It is. It is a bottomless pit. That's where, you know, number one, thinking that there's no mistakes, that idea has always helped me. But if it's like a real hook, if it's like a real jab where like maybe somebody was hurt as a result of something that we did, that's where I always go back to page 90 in the FIP edition. I think it's page 116. I'm trying to remember it now in the Sparkle edition, since this is what we are. Yeah, it's page 116 in Sparkle. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. So that's where, that to me has been a big release the past prayer, release the guilt prayer, because I don't need to beat myself up for what I think happened, because the Holy Spirit will undo the consequences if I let him, and hell yeah, I'm choosing to let him decide
mm-hmm.
for God for me. So.
Well, I think it even... Just even hearing Lisa and other Course teachers talk, it can even go a step further than that, because nothing happened.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like what we think
and, well,
happened.
And that,
yeah.
That's
so.
What the Course is taking us to, is ultimately
yeah.
realizing that the vigilance that we think we need, that ultimately we don't need it, because truth just is. So it's that leap from thinking that something has to be undone to ultimately coming to see that nothing happened. So thank you, Didi, for making
yeah.
that connection. That's
mm-hmm.
absolutely true.
That's beautiful. And it also goes in with a form of effortlessness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a form of effortlessness, because it takes effort to continue being the way we are and trying hard to change, but it's effortless just letting go.
Yeah, It is beautiful. I'm so glad you said that, because judgment and doing what we're doing here with limiting ourselves, with, you know, constricting our perception to these bodies, is exhausting. And it's so full of effort, and it's effortless to just let truth be what it is. So thank you, Meg, for sharing that. That's spot on. Spot on. How do we only have 5 minutes left already?
I have no idea.
How about, let's read the next paragraph. Do not underestimate the insanity of the ego's drive for vengeance on the past. This makes me think of, Brian, of what you said before, but we'll keep going here. Do not underestimate the intensity of the ego's drive for vengeance on the past. It is completely savage and completely insane. For the ego remembers everything that you have done which offended it and seeks retribution of you. Again, that's the capital Y-U. The fantasies it brings to the special relationships it chooses in which to act out its hate are fantasies of your destruction. Again, capital Y, your destruction. For the ego holds the past against you, and in your escape from the past, it sees itself deprived of the vengeance it believes that you so justly merit. Yet without your allegiance in your own destruction, the ego could not hold you to the past. So the ego really wants the capital Y, you, to be gone, which is ridiculous. That's saying that this tiny mad idea is out to destroy God, and that's impossible. It's totally, totally, totally impossible. So where it says in that sentence, yet without your allegiance in your own destruction, the ego could not hold you to the past, that's going back to that fan, you know, blowing up the nylon balloon whippy guy thing. If we're instead willing to place our belief somewhere else, we don't even have to be certain or confident in the Holy Spirit. We just have to have, again, a tiny willingness. By being willing to turn to Spirit, we're no longer pumping that belief into the ego. So it can't hurt us. It cannot hurt us. It's like my, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like a beetle trying to take you down. Like, you know, like it's not going to happen. It's impossible. And so the other piece that helps me with that also is just realizing, going back to what we read at the very end of the last section, the unwillingness for our release, if anything feels like it's hanging on, if the ego feels like it's hanging on, what I do then is say, okay, here's my unwillingness to heal. Here's the part of me that wants to stay separate. Here's the part of me that loves being Corinne, and I'm willing to even look at that with the Holy Spirit, and that takes that disarms that part, that takes away all, you know, ammunition that part maybe thought that it had, because I'm not leaving anything hidden. I'm not leaving anything in the shadow. I'm uncovering everything to expose it to the light. And so the ego literally has no power to hurt us.
I love what you said, Corinne. For me, it feels like when I have those moments of resistance, it's gotten to the point where I recognize now that when I have the resistance, that there's a part of me somewhere that still must hold a belief in some form of suffering or punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. There's a part of me that still is holding on to the belief that I deserve to suffer or I deserve punishment. And that's always insane.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I take it down to that, when I take it down to the suffering or punishment, it's easier for me to go, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But until I take it to that point, I'm still like, oh, well, maybe, you know, but unless I get really real about it and honest, I'm not able to let it go.
Right. Yeah, that radical self-honesty is so important. It's so super important.
Because there's nothing in spirit, in God energy, that's about punishment ever. Punishment is not of spirit at all. Ever.
Right. ever. Yes.
Yeah. So.
It's incapable. It's absolutely incapable of anything like that.
Yeah, I could go another hour on this call. You know what I mean? Wow, that just is amazing.
Doesn't it feel so good to have our minds straightened? Like, that's just the feeling that I get. Like, ah, yay, like my mind has just been untwisted a little bit more.
Yep.
That's
feels
it.
So good.
That's it?
It feels so good.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe we're at the top of the hour. So any final thoughts or questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you. We're good to go.
Thank you.
So we'll come together again next week. I love you all. Thank you so much for
thank you, family.
Love you.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.